Since 2016, cybercriminals have laundered over $45 billion worth of ill-gotten cryptocurrency, and the network of exchanges that facilitate this laundering, whether knowingly or unknowingly, is substantial and growing exponentially. Hello, my name is Bide Miolugunde, and you're listening to episode 164 of the Big Picture podcast. So on this episode, I'll talk about how cyber criminals use cryptocurrencies for money laundering and how the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange became a hub for hackers, fraudsters, and drug traffickers. Thank you for your time. Let's get to it. Okay, so let's start from the basics. What is cryptocurrency? Cryptocurrencies are digital or virtual currencies protected by encryption, which makes counterfeiting and double spending practically impossible. Many cryptocurrencies are built on blockchain technology, which is basically a distributed ledger enforced by a computer network. So cryptocurrencies are distinguished because they are not issued by any central authority, which makes them potentially resistant to government intervention or manipulation. The most significant criticism against cryptocurrencies is their use for illegal activities. So tech advancements have given criminals faster and safer options to launder their ill-gotten money. Undoubtedly, cryptocurrencies are a beneficial technological innovation that helps individuals and institutions to access financial products and services in a cost-effective manner. However, their rise as an alternative value transfer and investment tool raises money laundering questions inevitably. So cryptocurrencies are rapidly gaining popularity, but not everyone is on board, as many governments have outlawed dealing and trading in these digital tokens. So while there are apparently over 5,000 known cryptocurrencies in the world today, analysts and experts are still anticipating a rapid rise in the value of Bitcoin, which is the world's oldest and most valuable cryptocurrency. However, while some nations like India are rapidly expanding their crypto markets, other countries like Russia, Morocco, Egypt, and Bangladesh are tightening down. Back in September 2021, China's central bank declared that all cryptocurrency transactions are now illegal. So what is crypto money laundering? So this is the act of making cryptocurrency that is obtained through criminal activities appear legitimate. And in doing so, criminals convert the ill-gotten cryptocurrency into fiat currency. So that's basically the traditional currencies we know, like dollars, euros, pounds, and so on, which is then spent on goods and services and then integrated into the economy. So in most cases, cryptocurrency laundering entails either sending cryptocurrency to a high-risk or unregulated crypto-to-fiat exchange, or using fraudulent or stolen identity documents to do the same at a regulated exchange. Mixing and token swapping are also increasingly common stages in the laundering process. So when mixing, criminals use, they insert their cryptocurrency into software tools that pull and scramble cryptocurrencies from thousands of addresses. So when token swapping, criminals use decentralized crypto-to-crypto exchanges to trade fewer liquid cryptocurrencies for the ones that more exchanges accept, like Bitcoin and Ethereum. So while they may not presently be a competitor to fiat currency in terms of laundering volume, the ever-increasing use of cryptocurrency and their unregulated nature in many jurisdictions mean that the financial world has a lot to worry about. The same sentiment was echoed in the 2019 meeting of the G20 finance ministers and central bank governors in Japan. So a note from that meeting said, while crypto assets don't threaten global financial stability, the entire world remains vigilant to risks related to consumer and investor protection, anti-money laundering, and countering the financing of terrorism. Crypto advisors often claim that laundering money with cryptocurrencies is highly complex and risky, making it an ineffective strategy compared to conventional techniques. They also argue that transactions in digital currencies are more transparent and accountable than in fiat currencies. Another argument is that money laundering using cryptocurrencies is comparatively very small in volume, and the mainstream media focuses more on the criminal activities related to digital currencies rather than the technological innovations related to digital currencies. Nevertheless, there is no doubt that cryptocurrencies are being used to facilitate money laundering, even if it is on a relatively small scale. Cryptocurrencies are slowly changing their nature as a mainstream medium of value exchange in the digital era. Many large companies now accept digital currency for payments or products and services, and many banks are now thinking about adopting blockchain technology. So with that being said, cryptocurrency really has the potential to replace their paper and plastic variants. Therefore, it is essential to analyze the loopholes enabling these currencies to be used for money laundering and then develop adequate technologies to combat the crime. The rise of blockchain technology has facilitated the spread of cryptocurrencies and other types of crypto assets. Secured by cryptographic algorithms and circulated without any need for a central bank authority, cryptocurrencies have disrupted the traditional financial system. As a result, they are traded widely on exchange platforms in jurisdictions worldwide. However, the disruptive presence of cryptocurrency has also increased the potential for criminals to misuse the technology and conduct crypto laundering, basically evading conventional anti-money laundering controls. So in 2019, criminals laundered around $2.8 billion in Bitcoin through cryptocurrency exchanges, which is an increase of about $1.8 billion from 2018. The crypto laundering trend has prompted a response from global regulators that have moved to bring cryptocurrencies under the scope of existing anti-money laundering regulations or introduce new money laundering and terrorist financing laws that are applicable to cryptocurrency service providers. To detect and prevent crypto laundering, crypto exchange service providers must understand the criminal risks they face and how to implement a suitable money laundering and terrorist financing solution to comply with the relevant jurisdictional regulations. So how is crypto laundering possible? Cryptocurrencies represent an attractive option to money launderers because of their anonymity and the speed with which they can be transferred between users via different cryptocurrency exchanges. Money laundering with fiat currencies requires customers to create accounts with banks and other financial service providers by submitting personally identifying information. Money launderers then use the bank's infrastructure to conduct transactions, transferring illegal funds in and out of the financial system to disguise their origin. By contrast, for crypto laundering, cryptocurrency exchange users do not have to identify themselves to the same extent or use regulated banking infrastructure to move their funds. Instead, cryptocurrency transactions require only the unique addresses of the user's crypto wallets and take place directly between senders and recipients anywhere in the world with no need for security by a centralized authority or intermediary administration. Similarly, there is no codified paper trail of cryptocurrency transactions other than a cryptographically secured record on the blockchain. While cryptocurrency exchange platforms involve a certain level of customer identification and record keeping, regulatory standards for these platforms are inconsistent and often inadequate, and criminals still benefit from the anonymity and speed that is associated with the online transfer of funds. So since cryptocurrency transactions occur digitally, money launderers can quickly move larger volumes of illegal funds in and out of the financial system, often outpacing the anti-money laundering measures established by authorities. So how do criminals use cryptocurrencies for money laundering? To conceal the illegitimate origin of payments, criminals use a variety of strategies involving cryptocurrency, and these approaches rely on one or more of cryptocurrency's flaws, such as its inherent anonymity, ease of cross-border transactions, and decentralized peer-to-peer payments. As a result, money laundering with cryptocurrencies follows the same three-stage process as cash-based money laundering. So first is what is known as placement. During this stage, illicit funds are brought into the financial system through intermediaries such as financial institutions, exchanges, shops, and casinos. For example, one type of cryptocurrency can be bought with cash or other cryptocurrencies. It can also be done through online cryptocurrency exchanges. Criminals often use exchanges with fewer levels of compliance with anti-money laundering regulations for this purpose. So next is layering. During this phase, criminals obscure the illegal source of funds through structured transactions. This makes the trail of illicit funds challenging to decode. So using cryptocurrency exchanges, criminals can convert one cryptocurrency into another or participate in an initial coin offering, ICO, where payment for one type of digital currency is made with another type. Criminals can also move their crypto holdings to another country during this phase. Then lastly, there is integration. So in this case, illegal money is put back into the economy with a clean status. One of the most common techniques that criminals use is over-the-counter brokers, OTC brokers, who act as intermediaries between buyers and sellers of cryptocurrencies. Many OTC brokers provide money laundering services and they get very high commission rates. So in terms of methodology, there are four main ways that criminals launder cryptocurrencies. The first is crypto mixing. Mixing services, also known as tumblers, help cryptocurrency users to conduct transactions by mixing their cryptos with other users' cryptos. A typical mixing service takes cryptocurrencies from a client, sends them through various addresses, and then recombines them, which results in clean cryptocurrencies. Next is peer-to-peer crypto networks. Criminals use decentralized networks to transmit funds to different locations, frequently in other countries where there are crypto exchanges with lax anti-money laundering legislation. These exchanges assist individuals in converting cryptocurrency into fiat currency to then purchase high-end items. Next are crypto ATMs. So these ATMs allow people to purchase Bitcoin via debit or credit cards, and in some cases, by depositing cash. Some ATMs offer the facility to trade cryptocurrencies for cash as well. Unfortunately, many countries' Know Your Customer measures, KYC measures, for using these machines are poorly enforced. And then lastly, there is online gambling. So many gambling sites accept payments in cryptocurrencies. As a result, criminals can purchase chips with cryptos and cash them out after a few transactions.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you a woman going through divorce? Do you feel trapped on an emotional roller coaster? Do you wish that you had the skills to live a happy, independent life as a divorced woman? If this sounds like you, then you definitely need to check out the Becoming You Again podcast. It's the podcast dedicated to helping women during and after divorce. Topics like how to emotionally detach from your ex, learning to love yourself, handling loneliness, being a good single mom, having more confidence, and so much more is covered in the show. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, click the link in the show notes and follow the Becoming You Again podcast today.
So there are three specific benefits of using crypto laundering exchanges for money laundering. And the first is user identity. Cryptocurrency transactions are cryptographically secured and they are identifiable only through a user's exchange account or crypto wallet address. While crypto exchanges and wallet service providers require customers to provide identifying information, it is possible to add layers of security to transactions via tumblers and mixing services. Next is transaction speeds. Cryptocurrency transactions take place quickly and in some cases in a matter of seconds. So they offer money launderers a more significant efficiency level than fiat currencies and also the possibility of disguising funds before they are detected by anti-money laundering controls. The third and final benefit is structured deposits. Money launderers may use cryptocurrency exchange services to make multiple structured deposits of illegal funds in amounts that avoid triggering anti-money laundering reporting thresholds. So what are some crypto laundering red flags? Back in 2020, the Financial Action Task Force, FATF, released a report on the methodologies of crypto laundering, which set out four critical red flag indicators. The first is transactional behavior. Certain transaction types and patterns indicate money laundering operations, such as multiple transactions in small amounts, transactions that don't fit a customer's risk or wealth profile, regular transactions that result in frequent losses, or frequent transactions of fiat to cryptocurrencies without any apparent business explanation. The second is customer identity. Issues arising from customer identification measures often indicate attempts to exploit the anonymity benefits of cryptocurrency. So examples of red flag behavior related to customer identity are multiple exchange accounts that are controlled from the same IP address, discrepancies in identifying documents during account creation, and frequent changes in identifying information. And then the third is money muling. So money launderers may seek third parties, also known as money mules, to conduct cryptocurrency transactions on their behalf to avoid anti-money laundering controls. Customers who make deposits that are inconsistent with their wealth profile or who are unfamiliar with the financial products that they are using may be unknowingly used as money mules. And then the final indicator is funding sources. Cryptocurrency exchange providers should scrutinize the sources of cryptocurrency funds for indications of money laundering. For example, funds from sources linked to illegal activities, darknet websites, sites with inadequate anti-money laundering controls, and locations in countries with high anti-money laundering risk may be considered red flags. So let's talk about anti-money laundering and compliance within the crypto sector. So to combat the use of cryptocurrency in money laundering, regulators worldwide have issued laws and advice for businesses trading in digital currencies. While some regulators have included crypto exchanges and wallet businesses in their existing anti-money laundering legislation, others have established new ones. So in 2013, the U.S. Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, issued guidance that stated a virtual currency exchange and an administrator of a centralized repository of virtual currency with the authority to issue and redeem the currency to be considered as MSBs, money service businesses. In 2014, Canada became the first country to approve cryptocurrency regulation in anti-money laundering cases, which the Parliament of Canada passed under Bill C-31. So this bill aims to amend Canada's Proceeds of Crime and Terrorist Financing Act to include Canadian cryptocurrency exchanges. In addition, it lays out the framework for regulating entities dealing in digital currencies, treating the currencies as money service businesses. In June 2019, the Global Anti-Money Laundering Watchdog, the Financial Action Task Force, FATF, published its guidance that reinforced standards to clarify the application of anti-money laundering and terrorist financing requirements on virtual assets and virtual asset service providers, VASP. According to the FATF, countries must now examine and minimize the risks associated with virtual asset financial operations and providers, as well as licensed or registered providers, and subject them to supervision or monitoring by competent national authorities. The Monetary Authority of Singapore's Payment Services Act has mandated that crypto businesses operating in the country should obtain a license to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. In July 2020, the MAS proposed another set of regulations to control the cryptocurrency industry in the country. In addition, the European Union, EU, has recently adopted the fifth Anti-Money Laundering Directive, AMLD5, which requires crypto exchanges and custodial service providers to register with their local regulator and be compliant with Know Your Customer, KYC, and anti-money laundering procedures. In the US, like I said earlier, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, regulates money service businesses under the Bank Secrecy Act. In March 2021, the United Arab Emirates approved a law to regulate cryptocurrencies and non-fungible tokens, NFTs. So with new regulations on the horizon, crypto exchanges and other financial institutions must consider their compliance approach to crypto services and the effectiveness of their anti-money laundering solutions. So following FATF guidance, firms should seek to implement a risk-based cryptocurrency anti-money laundering compliance solution featuring four main measures and controls. So the first is customer due diligence. Crypto service providers must accurately establish and verify the identities of their customers. In a cryptocurrency service context, it may be necessary to use digital identification methods such as scans of official documents or biometric identification methods such as fingerprints, facial, or voice recognition. Next is transaction monitoring. So firms must be able to monitor customers' cryptocurrency transactions for suspicious activities and red flags. Given the considerable digital activities associated with crypto transactions, firms should seek to implement automated monitoring technology to capture necessary data. Next is PEP screening. So PEP basically means politically exposed persons, and this group of people pose a greater anti-money laundering risk than other customers. Therefore, cryptocurrency firms should screen customers regularly to establish their PEP status and inform their anti-money laundering risk profiles. Finally, there is sanction screening. So persons that are featured on international sanctions lists may use crypto laundering to avoid sanctions measures. Accordingly, crypto service providers must screen their customers against the relevant international sanctions list. So after the break, I'll talk about how the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange became a hub for hackers, fraudsters, and drug traffickers. Stay with us. So in September 2020, a North Korean hacking group known as Lazarus broke into Etherbase, which is a small Slovakian cryptocurrency exchange, and stole about $5.4 million in virtual currency. So the US government said that was one of a string of cyber heists by Lazarus to basically fund North Korea's nuclear weapons program. So several hours later, the hackers opened at least two dozen anonymous accounts on Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, so basically enabling them to convert the stolen funds and obscure the money trail. And all of this according to correspondence between Binance and Slovakia's national police. So according to account records that Binance shared with the police, in as little as 9 minutes, the Lazarus hackers created Binance accounts and traded the cryptocurrencies that were stolen from Etherbase using only encrypted email addresses as their form of identification. Etherbase said Binance had no idea who was moving the money through their exchange because of the anonymous nature of the accounts. As a result, Etherbase was unable to locate or recover the funds, and according to a Reuters investigation, the lost money is part of a cascade of illicit funds that flowed through Binance from 2017 to 2021. So during that period, Binance processed transactions totaling at least $2.35 billion, which originated from hacks, investment frauds, and illegal drug sales. Reuters calculated this figure by examining court records, statements by law enforcement officials, and blockchain data compiled by two blockchain analysis firms. So separately, crypto research firm Chainalysis, which is hired by the US government to track illegal digital currency flows, concluded in a 2020 report that Binance received criminal funds totaling approximately $770 million in 2019 alone, more than any other crypto exchange. So Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao, popularly known as CZ based on his initials, accused Chainalysis of bad business etiquette in a post on Twitter. Binance Chief Communications Officer Patrick Hillman said Binance did not consider Reuters' calculation to be accurate. It didn't respond to requests to provide Binance's own figures for the cases identified in the Reuters investigation. Instead, he said Binance was building the most sophisticated cyber forensics team on the planet and was seeking to further improve their ability to detect illegal crypto activity on their platform. So as Reuters reported in January, Binance kept weak money laundering checks on its users until mid-2021, despite concerns raised by senior company executives starting at least 3 years prior. So in response to that January article, Binance said it was helping to drive higher industry standards and the reporting was wildly outdated. In August 2021, Binance compelled new and existing users to start submitting identification. So with around 120 million users worldwide, Binance processes cryptocurrency trades worth hundreds of billions of dollars a month. The sector was hit by a sharp correction in May, and its overall value slumped by about 25% to $1.3 trillion. However, Binance CEO Zhao said he saw newfound resiliency in the market. Meanwhile, his company is extending its reach into traditional business, announcing a $200 million investment in media group Forbes this year and committing $500 million to Tesla boss Elon Musk's bid to take over Twitter. In late May, Forbes abandoned its plans to list publicly, and a Forbes spokesperson said Binance's investment would not take place. There has been no word from Tesla about how that could potentially affect their relationship with Binance. So the flow of illicit cryptocurrency through Binance, identified by Reuters, represents a small portion of the exchange's overall trading volumes. Yet, as policymakers and regulators, including US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde, voice concern over the illegal use of cryptocurrencies, the trade demonstrates how criminals have turned to the technology to launder dirty money. So for the Reuters investigation, its journalists interviewed law enforcement officials, researchers, and crime victims in a dozen countries, including in Europe and the US, to assess the enduring impact of past gaps in Binance's anti-money laundering rules. Reuters revealed detailed data about Binance client transactions on darknet sites, which are marketplaces for narcotics, weapons, and other illegal items. Most of that data was provided by Crystal Blockchain, which is an Amsterdam-based analysis firm that helps companies and governments to trace crypto funds. So the data showed that from 2017 to 2022, buyers and sellers on the world's largest darknet drugs market, which is a Russian language site called Hydra, used Binance to make and receive crypto payments worth around $780 million. Reuters cross-checked these figures with another analysis firm, which agreed with the findings. In April, the U.S. Justice Department announced that U.S. and German law enforcement agencies had seized Hydra's servers. In addition, the U.S. Justice Department indicted the server's alleged administrator for conspiring to commit money laundering and distribute illicit drugs. As a result, the site was shut down and the alleged administrator was arrested by Russian authorities. The data compiled for Reuters included cryptocurrencies that passed through multiple digital wallets before reaching Binance. For crypto firms, such indirect flows with links to known suspicious sources are red flags for money laundering, according to the Financial Action Task Force. So the FATF and the International Monetary Fund, IMF, have said that money launderers often use sophisticated techniques to create complex chains of crypto transfers that cover their tracks. So Mr. Hillman, the Binance spokesperson, said the Hydra figure was inaccurate and overblown, and that Reuters wrongly included indirect flows in its calculation. Reuters then asked how Binance views its responsibility to monitor its indirect exposure to dirty money. Mr. Hillman replied that what is important to note is not where the funds come from, as crypto deposits cannot be blocked, but what Binance does after the funds are deposited. He said Binance uses transaction monitoring and risk assessment to ensure that illegal funds are tracked, frozen, recovered, and or returned to their rightful owners. In addition, he said Binance is working closely with several law enforcement agencies to dismantle criminal networks that deal in cryptocurrencies, including in Russia. So for this investigation, Reuters reviewed documentation from several criminal and civil cases. For example, a still open civil case in the US alleges that back in 2020, Binance declined a request from investigators and lawyers who were acting on behalf of a hacking victim to permanently freeze an account that was being used to launder stolen funds. Binance, which disputes the US court's jurisdiction, confirmed to Reuters that it only put a temporary freeze on the account. Mr. Hillman blamed a failure by law enforcement to submit a timely request via Binance's web portal and then answer the exchange's follow-up questions. So in Germany, police said investigators began seeing criminals in Europe turn to Binance in 2020 to launder some of the proceeds from investment fraud schemes that caused the victims, many of them pensioners, to lose a total of 750 million euros, which is about $800 million. The criminals' use of Binance had not been previously reported. Reuters reporting also reveals for the first time how North Korea's Lazarus Group used Binance to launder some of the cryptocurrency stolen from Etherbase. A smaller portion of the funds was laundered simultaneously through another major cryptocurrency exchange based in Seychelles, known as Huobi, which declined to comment. So after another heist in March of this year, when Lazarus stole over $600 million from an online game involving cryptocurrencies, Binance CEO Zhao said North Korean hackers had transferred an unspecified amount of the funds to Binance. Mr. Hillman told Reuters that Binance has identified and frozen more than $5 million and is assisting law enforcement with its investigation. He didn't provide further details.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Would you like to return to work, change careers, or start a business? Would you like to know how to leverage social media in order to do it? On the Sparkle and Thrive podcast, I interview women from all walks of life who've done just that. Check us out at Sparkle and Thrive on all podcast apps.
So the U.S. sanctioned Lazarus back in 2019 over cyber attacks designed to support North Korea's weapons programs, calling it an instrument of the country's intelligence services, an accusation that the North Korean government has called vicious slander. Blockchain researcher Chainalysis estimates that Lazarus stole cryptocurrencies worth $1.75 billion by 2020 that mostly flowed through unidentified cryptocurrency exchanges. Binance CEO Zhao started the company in Shanghai, China back in 2017. 3 months later, he unveiled a new strategy on an internal chat group for the company's next development phase. He wrote, quote, "Do everything to increase our market share and nothing else," end quote. So the priority, he said, was to ensure Binance overtook larger cryptocurrency exchanges and fended off competition from smaller rivals. According to him, quote, "Profit, revenue, comfort, and so on, all come second." So when asked to elaborate on this remark, Mr. Ilman said, quote, "Neither CZ nor any other Binance business leader has ever suggested that increasing market share should supersede compliance obligations," end quote. Among the countries that Zhao sought to expand in was Russia, which Binance described in a 2018 blog as a significant market due to its hyperactive crypto community. A Reuters article in April detailed Binance's efforts to dominate the crypto market there and how, behind the scenes, the exchange was building ties with Russian government agencies. So Binance has continued to provide limited services in Russia since the country invaded Ukraine in February, despite requests from the government in Kyiv for cryptocurrency exchanges to ban Russian users as part of efforts to isolate Russia financially. To date, Russia continues to refer to its actions in Ukraine as a special operation. So Reuters' new reporting following the April article shows that many people who signed up to Binance in Russia were not using it for trading. Instead, Binance became a key payment provider for Hydra, the giant darknet marketplace, according to the blockchain data compiled for Reuters, a review of Hydra user forums, and interviews with illegal drug users and researchers. After it was set up back in 2015, Hydra distributed narcotics on behalf of drug dealers, all priced in Bitcoin, to millions of buyers, mainly in Russia. So German police, in coordination with US authorities, seized Hydra servers in Germany back in April, effectively shutting down the marketplace. In addition, the US indicted a Russian resident, Dmitry Pavlov, for administering the servers. A week later, Russian authorities arrested Pavlov for allegedly dealing in drugs, according to a court in Moscow, adding that he had filed an appeal. Before his arrest, Pavlov told the BBC that he ran a licensed server company and he was unaware that he was hosting Hydra. The US Justice Department, describing Hydra as, quote, "the world's largest and longest running darknet market," end quote, said the site had received around $5.2 billion in cryptocurrency in total. Neither Binance nor any other payment provider linked to Hydra was named by the Justice Department. So sites like Hydra are only accessible on an underground part of the internet, known as the dark web, and that requires a special browser that hides users' identities. As early as March 2018, Hydra users recommended on the site's Russian language forums that buyers use Binance to make purchases, citing the anonymity that Binance afforded its clients at the time by allowing them to register with only an email address. So on Binance's own Russian community on Telegram, cryptocurrency traders exchanged dozens of messages in 2021 and early 2022 about using Hydra. According to one user, quote, the Hydra is thriving. So Hydra transformed the narcotics market in Russia. Previously, drug users tended to buy from street dealers with cash. However, with Hydra, users selected substances on the site, paid the seller in Bitcoin, and then received coordinates to pick up the treasure at a discrete location. So the buyers, who are known as treasure hunters, found their purchases buried in forest at the edge of town, hidden in garbage dumps, or stuffed behind loose bricks in abandoned buildings. According to a report by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, Hydra increased the availability of drugs in Russia and drove a surge in demand for stimulants such as methamphetamine and mepedrone. As a result, drug-related deaths rose by two-thirds between 2018 and 2020, according to figures from Russia's State Anti-Drug Committee. At the time of the US and German operation to seize Hydra servers, the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, which supported the investigation, said the marketplace's services threatened the safety and health of communities far and wide. Alexandra, a 24-year-old office manager in Moscow, started buying mephedrone and ketamine on Hydra in 2019 to help cope with her bipolar disorder. Several friends who used Hydra told her Binance was the safest way to pay dealers. Some used fake personal information to open Binance accounts, but she uploaded a copy of her passport. Binance never blocked or flagged any of her payments, and she said the system's anonymity made buying drugs on the darknet easy. According to her, it was like buying chocolate in the store. So as her drug use became an everyday habit, she went days without sleep, racked by hallucinations and depression. She said she felt like she was dying, and she liked that feeling. Eventually, she sought psychiatric help and received therapy. Since then, she has used Hydra to only buy cannabis. So U.S. State Department reports from 2019 and 2020 warned that drug traffickers in Russia were using virtual currencies to launder proceeds. Those reports did not mention either Hydra or Binance. So as reported by Reuters in its January investigation, an internal document shows that Binance was aware of the risk of illegal finance in Russia. In 2020, in an assessment that was reviewed by Reuters, Binance's compliance department assigned Russia an extreme risk rating. The assessment cited money laundering reports by the US State Department. Mr. Hillman told Reuters that Binance has so far taken more action against Russian money launderers than any other crypto exchange, citing a ban on three Russian digital currency platforms that are sanctioned by the US government. According to data from Crystal Blockchain, cryptocurrency flows between Binance and Hydra dropped sharply after the exchange tightened its customer checks in August 2021. So for the past 5 years, Binance has allowed traders on its platform to buy and sell a coin called Monero, which is a cryptocurrency that offers users anonymity. So while Bitcoin transactions are recorded on a public blockchain, Monero obscures the digital addresses of its senders and receivers. According to a document by Binance, which is available on its website called A Beginner's Guide to Monero, such coins were desirable for those seeking true financial confidentiality. So Binance CEO Zhao has spoken in favor of privacy coins, of which Monero is the most traded. During a 2020 video call with staff, Zhao said privacy was part of people's financial freedom. He didn't mention Monero, but said Binance had funded other privacy coin projects. So Monero has proved to be popular among Binance users. As of late May 2022, Binance was processing Monero trades worth around $50 million daily, far more than other exchanges, according to data from the CoinMarketCap website. Law enforcement agencies in Europe and the US have warned that Monero's anonymity makes it a potential tool for money launderers. The US Department of Justice, in a 2020 report, said it considered the use of anonymity-enhanced cryptocurrencies like Monero a high-risk activity that is indicative of possible criminal conduct. Mr. Hillman, Binance spokesperson, told Reuters that there were many legitimate reasons why users require privacy, such as when opposition groups in authoritarian regimes are denied safe access to funds. He said Binance is opposed to anyone using cryptocurrencies to buy or sell illegal drugs.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Catalina. I'm a two-time cancer survivor and a babe with a mobility aid.
My name is Haley. I'm a PA with POTS and a water allergy. We are the hosts of the Doing It Disabled podcast.
Haley and I are on a mission to create an honest dialogue about living with disability and chronic illness. We would like to open up our corner of the internet to both learn and teach about the lived experiences of the disabled community.
Join us as we navigate this world that was not created with us in mind and watch how we do it disabled. Head on over to Spotify and check us out.
Hackers have used Binance to convert stolen funds into Monero. In August 2020, hackers hijacked a cryptocurrency wallet belonging to an Australian man named Steve Kowalski by tricking him into downloading malware. They withdrew the 1,400 Bitcoin he held in the wallet, which were worth about $16 million at the time. Mr. Kowalski told police that he had bought the Bitcoin for about $500,000 6 years earlier, and they were a significant portion of his assets. So investigators that Mr. Kowalski hired traced most of his Bitcoin through a series of wallets to six Binance accounts, where the coins were exchanged for Monero, according to witness testimony and blockchain analysis reports filed as part of an ongoing civil complaint that Mr. Kowalski submitted last year against Binance, and that was in Miami-Dade County in Florida. Mr. Kowalski's investigation showed that a U.S. software consultant called Brandon Inge, then living in Florida, controlled most of the Binance accounts. Mr. Inge testified to the court that a crypto trading partner who he knew online only by the username MoneyTree deposited the Bitcoin in his Binance account. Mr. Inge said that MoneyTree paid him a 1% commission to convert the Bitcoin into Monero on Binance and then transfer it back. A lawyer for Mr. Inge said MoneyTree likely traded through Mr. Inge to shield his identity from Binance. Mr. Inge testified that he was not aware he was laundering stolen Bitcoin. Mr. Inge's Monero trading had earlier raised alarms at another cryptocurrency exchange called Poloniex, based in the US, where he also had an account. In mid-2019, his Poloniex account was frozen after it was flagged for high-risk exposure to money laundering due to Monero withdrawals totaling over $1 million, according to a court file. So Binance dealt with Mr. Inge differently. Mr. Kowalski's private investigators and lawyers contacted Binance soon after the theft, before Mr. Inge converted all the funds, and repeatedly asked Binance to permanently freeze Mr. Inge's accounts. The letters, which were filed with the court, also accused Binance of not responding to police requests to secure the assets for the duration of their investigation. Binance imposed a 7-day freeze on the accounts, but then lifted it, so basically allowing Mr. Inge to exchange the stolen Bitcoin for Monero over several months. A Binance investigation team member told one of the private investigations in a message that while it is highly likely the paths leading to this account are malicious, Binance could not prove that the accounts were created to facilitate laundering. In a submission last December to the court in Florida, Binance said the case should be dismissed as the court did not have jurisdiction over the company. To determine the matter, the judge has granted discovery, which is a process where parties request documents from each other. Mr. Hillman told Reuters that Binance investigates all allegations of misconduct on its platform and takes appropriate action if its investigators uncover wrongdoing. Etherbase, the small Slovakia-based cryptocurrency exchange that was hacked by Lazarus, also sought help from Binance. So after the news of the hack by Lazarus, Binance CEO Zhao tweeted on September 9, 2020, quote, "We'll do what we can to assist," end quote. But when Etherbase emailed Binance's support center, a Binance team member said they could not share any account data without a law enforcement request. So Etherbase then submitted a criminal complaint to Slovakia's National Crime Agency. In June 2021, the agency in Slovakia wrote to Binance requesting information and that the funds were stolen by anonymous hackers who were united under the Lazarus hacking group. Binance then replied that it could not identify the accounts connected to the hack. So after another more detailed police request in July 2021, Binance sent the Slovakian crime agency records on 24 accounts, adding that they had been empty for over 9 months as, quote, "the assets have instantly been traded," end quote. Mr. Hillman said Binance fully cooperated with requests from Slovakian authorities and helped them identify the relevant accounts. The record showed that the only personal information that Binance held on the account holders was their email addresses, many of which were based on misspelled well-known names such as Benjamin Franklin, the American founding father, and Gareth Bale, the Welsh soccer player. In addition, the hackers used virtual private networks, VPNs, to obscure their devices' locations. According to the account records, within around 20 minutes of opening most of the accounts, the hackers passed an unspecified security check, allowing them to withdraw cryptocurrencies. Each account then converted portions of the stolen funds into just under 2 Bitcoin, which were the withdrawal limits at the time for a basic account without solid identification. So after the hack, Etherbase stopped its operations and later filed for bankruptcy. Robert Ochst, the company co-founder, said the losses meant Etherbase could no longer cover its expenses. So the hack effectively killed their business, and the victims of the hack are yet to be reimbursed. In private, Binance CEO Zhao has complained that Binance needs to carry out checks on its customers. During the 2020 video call, Zhao told staff that Know Your Customer rules were unfortunately a requirement of Binance's business. At times, the compliance team struggled with its workload. For example, in a message to staff in January 2019, Zhao asked other departments to help the compliance team run background checks due to an overwhelming number of new users. According to a group chat among Binance staff, the compliance team sometimes approved accounts with inadequate documentation. For example, a team member complained to colleagues that one user could open an account by submitting 3 copies of the same receipt from a meal at an Indian restaurant. However, Hillman said Binance's Know Your Customer checks are now highly sophisticated and that it views such rules as mandatory and welcome. So current and former police officials in 5 countries told Reuters that criminal groups were among Binance's growing customer base in recent years. A Vienna-based non-profit organization, the European Funds Recovery Initiative, which supports victims of investment fraud, has received around 220 complaints from people whose stolen savings were converted into crypto. Almost 2/3 of lost money was funneled through Binance, totaling 7.4 million euros, according to the initiative's co-founder, Elfie Sixt. Other investment frauds targeting people in Turkey, England, and Pakistan also used Binance. So police officers and lawyers told Reuters that it is harder for fraud victims to recover lost funds when they pass through a cryptocurrency exchange. In many countries, consumers can ask their banks to freeze or reimburse stolen funds. However, according to its website, Binance requires victims to sign non-disclosure agreements as a condition for temporarily freezing assets and insist on the direct involvement of law enforcement agencies to process claims. So to wrap up, on this episode, I spoke about how cyber criminals use cryptocurrencies for money laundering and how the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange became a hub for hackers, fraudsters, and drug traffickers. So that's all I have for this episode 164 of the Big Picture Podcast. Thanks for listening. Big Picture Podcast is produced by Sunshine Media in association with Alowunle Productions. Fact-checking by Zara Kuznetsova. Audio engineer, Sergey Gorski. Graphic design, Stacey Graham. Senior producer, Abidemi Ologunde. Executive producers, Olufolani Ologunde and Tobiloba Ologunde. Please join me again on the next episode as I continue with a deep dive on cybersecurity news, events, and incidents, and the lessons we can learn from them for robust cyber threat intelligence and awareness in our daily lives. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Big Picture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, please share the show with anyone that you think might benefit from it. For questions, comments, or any suggestions, please send an email to bdme@thebigpicture.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @BigPicture, on the Clubhouse app @Big, as well as on the Wisdom app @BDME. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast if your platform allows you to do so. Thank you for your time. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.